control. Trace of the Jesus. Listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Trace of the Jesus.
Telling you the truth is what we here to do.
Trace of the Jesus.
Come get all the blessings God got for you.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Bacarb with your podcast, Straight Talk, No Chaser. Welcome back. We do have a wonderful guest on today. She goes by different. She's different. Let's just go jump right into it. Different, how are you?
Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You know, I forgot to ask, how do you prefer to be addressed? What's your salutation? Do you prefer Marcus, Mr. Bacarb, Pastor?
You can go, Pastor is fine. I'm good with that.
All righty. Well, I'm good. Thank you for having me. Hello to everybody out there that's watching and listening. Yes, my name is Different, spelled D-I-F-E-R-N-T. And yes. I'm happy to be here with you on the Straight with Pastor podcast, man.
This may turn into where we have to get her back. She has a lot of information that we're going to go into because she dropped a bomb on me as we got ready to end the call last time. The first time we spoke, we never got a chance to delve into that because we're going to start there because she has an interesting life. God has done some amazing things in her life. Yes, and so we're going to start right up by asking, tell us a little bit about your childhood because you had an interesting childhood.
Yes. And I wouldn't say like interesting. I'm pretty sure as kids, you know, we've all gone through some type of trial and tribulation or a traumatic experience. So I don't want to say like I'm special or been through anything better or worse than anybody else. It's always somebody out there that has it 10 times worse than you. So that's why I'm completely grateful and humble to God for what he has brought me through and is getting me through. But to give you guys a little bit of background about myself, I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm 32 years old. I guess as far as coming up, I guess I had a pretty good childhood up until the time I was 11 years old. Then, you know, my family and I, we ended up homeless for the next 3 years, living from pillow to post, you know, sleeping anywhere from cars, shelters, parks, even slept at a bus stop and a crack house at one time. And it wasn't until I was around 14, a family member secretly placed me in foster care. And they didn't tell anybody where I was until maybe like 6 months afterwards, they found out of me being in care. However, during that 6 months of them looking and searching for me, I found out from another foster kid that if we stayed in and aged out, then the state of Texas would pay for our tuition, our 4-year way to college. And so right then a light bulb went out in my head and I decided to use my street smarts to elevate my book smarts. And just made that decision to spend the next 4 years basically being in the system and shuffled around. And within that was a whole experience within itself. You know, I spent the next 4 years being, you know, shuffled from foster home to shelter to foster home. And towards the end of it, you know, God's still good because he brought me out of that trial and made it into a triumph. I was able to go to college and got a bachelor's degree in international business. I have two minors in business communication and economics, as well as I have my master's degree in entrepreneurship. Even in that opportunity while being in college, I founded my own student organization titled Pay It Forward, which is where my motivational speaking bug was planted. We would go to different high schools speaking with them about the importance of education and me sharing my story and my testimony. So many kids would come up to me afterwards and tell me, you know, they're going through the same thing or they didn't know. And now I'm going to go to college. And so right there, that's where my motivational speaking bug was planted. I also got the opportunity and was blessed to travel abroad, study abroad in Kim Young University in South Korea. And within that opportunity, I went to 8 other countries and that's where my travel bug was planted. And then up until the pandemic, I was traveling like crazy. I think I gotten up to almost 50 countries. And so, although my life may have started out with, you know, in a rocky situation, I guarantee you by the God's grace, it's going to end in triumph. And I'm going to be able to use my story as an example of how God can take you from the back to the front, you know, when you believe in him and when you put your faith and your trust in him. And even though, you know, God has brought me through all of those, you know, trials and tribulations towards the end of it, all these accomplishments and accolades I had under my belt, you know, that still didn't mean anything, you know, when I was dealing with what was going on mentally with me. And so it wasn't until, you know, I had to face the ugly truth about myself, you know, and facing my past and my history, you know, coming up in my background, I was used to chaos. I grew up in a chaotic background. And so mm-hmm. when I got placed in foster care, it was complete 360. I was actually placed in nice homes, good school district, and I wasn't used to it. And so I got that mindset that, oh, nothing's good, it's ever going to last long, or they're going to get me. So I got to get them before they get me. And so I would self-sabotage a lot of the good things that came my way because I didn't feel I was worthy of it or it was too good to be true. And so it was like that for me throughout my childhood, high school, college, and it transcended all into my adulthood to where it started to affect my career path. I had a lot of good things going for me, but I would squander it because I didn't believe that I was worthy of it. There was this one instant where I had a meeting with a well-connected person. They just really could have thrusted me forward. However, I let those demons in the back of my head get to me, you know, telling me, you know, you too country, you too ghetto, or they just taking pity on you because you were in foster care. And so I purposely showed up late to that meeting because of that. And it left a sour taste in their mouth. And it was just issues like that that plagued me for, you know, nearly 10 years. And to force me to, you know, face the ugly truth that whatever I went through in my past, it wasn't my fault. It was out of my control. But as an adult, it is my problem to fix. And so I decided to, you know, bump that notion that Black people don't do therapy. And this Black girl right here is going to share some magic and go and get her some therapy. And thank God that I did, because that led to me, you know, writing a book, starting a business, and, you know, venturing out into places I've never, the unknown. And, you know, like I said, I just want my life to be an example of how God can take you from the back to the front when you trust in Him and believe in Him and you believe in yourself. I feel like I talked too much, so yeah, just jump in.
No. I was going to let you finish, but because I think it's interesting that, because you don't hear a lot of people that talk about good things from foster care.
It wasn't, I'm not going
to. I mean,
only good thing that came out of that was me going to college, but it was pretty hard to deal with.
Yeah, most people have a traumatic horror, and it affects them all the way through mm-hmm. their life. And I'm glad you did say, you touched on something that you're right. We've got this false notion that Black people, we don't go to counseling. Mm-hmm. I'm a product of going to counseling myself. And I believe in getting counseling because we've been trained, it's been in our genetics, mm-hmm. that what happens in our house stays in our house.
In the house, yep.
But you never deal with it, even in the house.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so everybody's walking around with this, with knowing something's going on and knowing there's an issue, but we can't talk about it. You don't dare bring it up because we told you not to say nothing about it. And so, we got to go get some help, especially right now when I see right now mental depression and everything is rising.
Yes.
In our community, if I'm honest, we didn't think Black people had depression.
Yeah. I didn't know depression existed in us. It was, to me, I was just told that we were just aggressive, angry people just because that was our nature. Yeah. But taking back our power and realizing our voices and recognize it wasn't our fault what we've been through, you know.
Yeah.
They did that to us. You know who the they is, but mm-hmm. you know what they brought upon us. And that notion could be said for us as a whole, as a community. What we went through in the past with slavery and racial slurs, it wasn't our fault. It was out of our control. But now that we have our power and we have our voices, it's on us to take back our power and recognize our strength.
Yeah, it's time to flip it.
And the fact that if you know that now and you don't want to take back your power and strength, you still didn't want to play the victim, then that is your fault. Yeah. You deserve what you're getting. And so, that's just the ugly truth about it. You know, it's a lot of people that realize and understand that they have issues and don't want to go and get them fixed
mm-hmm.
and wonder why they're having so much trouble in their lives.
I've tried to encourage people, hey man, look, I got this counselor. As a matter of fact, there's one in Texas that I refer people to as well, that she does online. And she's been good for the people I referred her to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, referred to her.
Okay, and so that's good.
It's amazing thing when you sit down, you just open up and like, it's like a load off.
I'll be honest with you, it's hard in the beginning, but when you make that decision to go, you have to go in with an open mind and an open heart and no expectations of what you're going to get out of it. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to go into therapy for one day and all my problems is going to be fixed. No, I've been going to therapy for nearly 3 years now, and I'm still barely scratching the surface. And so it's a process. It's going to be a constant process. Not going to be once. It's going to be a commitment. Once you start therapy, you can't stop it. I noticed that. It's going to be it's just have to be a part of your daily regimen or your livelihood. Just like when you're losing weight and changing your lifestyle healthy-wise, you got to commit to it. And so that's just what it is when it goes into therapy. You have to be committed. You can't, you know, start and stop. It's okay if you, you know, go every, like, once in 3 months. I understand, and I realize that therapy is expensive. It does cost. But however, don't let money be the excuse as to why you don't fix your issues or you don't take back your power. There are some resources out there that people can use, like me. I research and look for, you know, feasible therapists or free therapists as well as free resources, you know, calling a crisis hotline, you know, picking up a hobby, you know, doing whatever it is. It's not just therapy that's an option. You know, like I say, when it comes to taking back your power, you're the captain of your ship. You decide where to navigate the waters and do what's best for you that helps you keep you from going off the deep end and possibly taking others with you. That was another thing that I realized in my depression, you know, hurt people. And I never really understood that. And, you know, me being angry and upset at my past and mad at what happened to me, I would lash out on others and did not know it or realize it. Why? Because it was second nature to me. And you really don't see the problem when things are second nature to you. And so that's what therapy has allowed for me, you know, to see and within myself that, you know, how I should stop, you know, being a reactive person and being a more proactive person. And so that, again, that's what led to me reprogramming my mindset, you know, getting out and getting involved, as well as the pandemic, being stuck in the house. That's what led to me writing my book and then starting my business. And so look at God and what he can do for you when you take back your power and you just take control, or, you know, you give it to him more so. If you can't handle it, give it to him and let him do the work for you. But you just got to walk through it and show, you know, Corinthians 2:5-7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so when you're going through, you know, the valleys, you have to walk by faith and not by sight, and trust that it may, even though it may not work out the way you plan, it's all going to work out for your good. That's what I'm realizing now.
A question. What steps did you take? I know you went to counseling. What other steps did you take to, I guess, change your mindset? A reset.
Well, I'm real big into manifestation, meditation, chakra healing. I was doing yoga. I'm getting back into it now, but I strongly believe in the power of manifestation. My motto is manifest, plan, prepare. When I say manifest, that means speaking things into existence, reprogramming your mind as far as removing all that negative thoughts and naysay and replacing it with positivity. You know, there's power in the tongue, and what we say out of our mouths come to life. And so once we start speaking things good into our life, they start to come to us over time. The second part of that is planning, getting out on paper how you're going to achieve your goals and your dreams, you know, having, you know, plan A, plan B, an exit strategy. You know, as far as preparation goes, when I say prepare, I mean prepare internally and externally. Internal wise, go get your mental in check, go get your physical in check, go fix your finances, go fix those broken bridges, go cut those people off that mean you know well, so that when you receive whatever it is that you're manifesting for, you will be prepared for it. You will know how to handle it. That was the problem, the issue with me in the past. All these good things came my way. I didn't know how to handle it. I wasn't prepared for it. So I was squandering. So when you manifest, plan for the things that you want and they come to you, you will be prepared for it. You will know how to handle it. And so every day, you know, I write in my journal. I have my little manifestation book here. I don't know if you can see it. It says manifest. I'm blanking the other part out.
Yeah.
But every day, you know, I write my little blueprint as to, you know, what I want to speak into my life. And then, you know, I just have my little positive sticker notes, you know, as far as, you know, with finances and money. I'm not rich yet, but I'm manifesting it. You know, this life that I'm going to live, I was born poor, but I'm going to die broke.
You know what?
I mean, I'm going to die rich, excuse me.
You know what? On that right there, I saw you put that. You know who else did that? And it
Jim
came
Carrey?
To pass? Yes, that's what I was going to bring up. He wrote mm-hmm. that check.
He wrote that check, put it in his pocket, and they still say, you know, he was doing liar for, I think, $40 million.
Yeah, he kept it in his, he still keep, well, I don't know if he still keeps, but at the time he was interviewed, he still had it in his wallet.
Yep.
Because he said that's what he did. He wrote it and it came to pass.
Yep. So you have to manifest, plan, prepare for the things that you want in life, and it will surely come to you. And so that's a part of my regimen as far as, you know, working on the internal side. External side of getting myself together is getting back into the gym. Before the pandemic, I was on it. I lost over 100 pounds, but gained it right back and then some, being in the pandemic as well as dealing with depressions. And 2021 was a very, very hard year, probably one of the hardest years of my life. I lost 5 people in my family back to back to back, with the last person being my mother. She died in my arms the day after Christmas, and that took me out. But by God's grace and by my willpower, I was able to say, and knowing what I knew from the power of going to therapy, I immediately, you know, started my grieving process. I didn't put it off. And so 2022, you know, I took a hiatus from work. You know, I went through the motions as far as dealing with the first times, you know, first Mother's Day without my mom, first, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and that's just how I've been making it through.
You said you started the grieving process readily or speedily,
Yes, sir.
Because you get so many people that don't, I'm fine. They walk around, they're strong. But then a year later, they wake up one day and all of a sudden you're like, what's wrong? You just said that they just broke down.
Make no mistake about it. I am still grieving. I'm still going through the motions. However, I'm better than I was last year. You know, this time around March, you know, I was a mess, but I was still working through it. And it's better. I'm able to deal with it more so better now. It still hurts without her. I still miss her dearly, but I know and thank God that she's in a better place and no longer suffering. She was a kidney. She was on dialysis for 17 years. And, you know, for 3 days out of the week, getting stuck with 3 needles for 4 hours, you know, that's a strong woman for you. And I'm so proud of her for going through the motions and fighting a good fight until the end. You know, she believed in God too. And as well, before she left, we had time, you know, to prepare for her departure. And so, you know, she made me promise her, you know, for me not to wail and wallow in my sorrows, to grieve her, but to move on, you know, still and keep her memory alive as best as I can. And so with that being said, I'd love to, you know, dedicate this and send a shout out to my mother up in heaven, Rachelle Raynette Schinnevert. I love you and I miss you, and everything I do, I'm going to make sure I keep your memory alive. And so this one is for you and everybody else that's no longer here with me. You know, I lost both of my grandfathers, a family member, and my coach as well to COVID. You know, that was really, very, you know, it hit home for me. And so that's why for me, therapy is extremely important, because I am a person, I'm being real with myself. I can see it, not over time, not right now, but over time, if it goes unchecked, I do see myself going off the deep end. And so that's what, you know, I realized with dealing with depression. Suicide is not most of the time, it's not a thought out thing. It's a spontaneous thing. You know, you can be feeling good one day, and the next day you have a trigger or a memory that just hurts you so bad, and you'll be like, man, forget this, I'm out of here. But you just have to remember, this too shall pass, and you will get through it, and you're not alone. And so going off the deep end is not worth it. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and you just have to get through it and strive through it. As far as, you know, other things that I do, you know, reaching out to other people that are going through the same situation that I am, you know, joining those Facebook groups helps. The little grieving groups. What else? Like I said, when it comes to, you know, you the captain, I'm telling you my little regimen, but those out there that are listening, y'all have to know y'all the captain of y'all own ship, and you have to find what works best for you, because what may work for me may not work for you guys. So find whatever, you know, a route that works best for you and take it and utilize as best as you can when it comes to getting your mental health in check and keeping it in check. Because you're the captain of your own ship, and you decide where to navigate the waters or when it's time to sink it. But as far as it goes with me, I'm not going to be ready for no white flag no time soon. God has blessed me so much and has given me so much. And I still got a lot left in me. And I know I would hurt a lot of people if I were to take myself off the board game. So that's why I'm still going to be here fighting a good fight. Until God calls me home, and then I'll be able to be with my mother again. And so that's why I'm here and just spreading that message.
I think that it's good to know, because we don't really hear us talk about it. We hear, and we do, it's too late when we talk about it.
Yep.
And I think it's a big time, it's a big thing when you can open up and talk about it and be open before people, because a lot, you said earlier at the beginning, there's always someone going through more than what you are, but there's somebody going through the exact same thing. They just don't know anybody that looks like them that's going through, because we walk around without a mask on and we keep it all hunky-go-dory, when in actuality, we're smiling on the outside, but dying on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful you were able to go get, and you recognized it, because it comes with you first recognizing. And it was me when I was going through what I was going through, it was that thought of suicide crossed my mind. And then, but I looked up, I had four kids, and I can't leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said to me, man, why don't you go talk to somebody? I'm like, man, we don't go do that. We don't do that. And then somebody said, come on, try it. And I went and tried it. And you're right, you have to go in with a different mindset. And after the first meeting, I was like, okay, I'll be back. So I kept going back. And I think that's what we got to make, that first step.
The second step we have to make, as far as when it comes to our people in the Black community, we have to stop shunning and getting mad at each other for when it comes to wanting to express ourselves and talk about our feelings. You know, a lot of the times the cliches we use is, oh, just let it go. Just get over it. It's the past. Can't nothing come from that. I mean, oh, nothing will change from that. And now actually, I have to be honest, as a person who believes in Christ, I get tired of people telling me to let go, let God sometimes, when they use that as a cliche, when the situations that really need to be dealt with. And so for me, when it comes to expressing myself, and if I come across, you know, a person who gets mad at me for telling me how I feel, then I cut them off. That's how you realize then and there that that person's no good for you. If they get mad at you for trying to free yourself and taking back your power and getting upset with you, then you don't need those type of people in your life, and family included. I hate to say it, but, you know, a lot of our sorrows and heaviness that we have to deal with in life, it does come from family, not just with Black people. You know, it's like that in some other families. We have toxic family members. And so if you ever in a point to where you're trying to get yourself together and your mental health together, and you have those type of people that are trying to block it and stop you, then you cut those people off. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Family member or not.
Yeah, I believe.
well, family member, I would say don't cut them off, but keep them at a distance. People that ain't your family, you cut them off. Don't even waste no time with that.
Yeah, I think that sometimes you have to, I once preached a message, everybody can't go.
Yeah.
Everybody can't go with you to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I think when we take counseling and married in with Christ, and Christ is the lead in it all, and having God be the very head of your life, you're able to get through it easier. Look, I shouldn't say easy. Yeah, you'll be able to make what everybody else panics in, you'll be able to, but God did it. But I'm still a child of God. He got me. I'm gonna rest. I'm gonna go through what I'm gonna go through. But
amen.
But I when I go through it though, I know He's with me. I'm not alone.
Amen.
That's a big thing people miss. People say because they are in Christ, oh, I can't go to counseling. When actually, He would not have educated all these people, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I would have sent all this knowledge to all these people so that you could sit there and say, nope. No, yep. Sometimes you need to go get it out and talk to somebody. You need
and
to go
express.
And
that reverts back to knowing if you have a problem and you don't want to fix it, or you're too prideful, then, you know, you deserve what you get. Unfortunately, that's the ugly truth about it. Like I said, it's a lot of people out there that's sitting around knowing they have problems and issues, and it's just too prideful, too ashamed, or too embarrassed to go fix it. But you have to, you know, get out of your own way to in order to save yourself. So for those out there who's led by pride and being, you know, feeling ashamed and embarrassed, you shouldn't, you know, because you're not alone and you're not the only one. But for the prideful ones out there, pride is the devil, and that's going to be, you know, the death of you if you don't take control of it. And so for those out there that's too prideful to go to therapy, or too ashamed or embarrassed, you know, to get themselves together and in check, then you have to look at it as, you know, maybe it is my fault. Maybe I am the problem if I don't want to get it fixed. I am a part of that, you know, issue. That was like that for me for the longest time. But once I started going to therapy and talking it out, I started to was able to free myself from my own bondage. It's a lot of the bondage, you know, I created for myself. And, you know, and being with the pandemic, you know, being stuck in the house, not able to do anything, that fed into my depression. And so, and as far as, you know, with my book, when the death of George Floyd happened on May 25th, 2020, and he's from Third Ward, I'm from Fifth Ward. And so when I wanted to go in March and have my voice being heard. However, it just, you know, I wanted it to be heard long after, you know, the situation is over with and even after I'm gone. And so talking with God.
Are you from there?
Asking for the spirit of discernment. Say it again.
You're from where he, George Ford?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, okay.
We live in neighborhoods right next to each other. He's from Third Ward. I'm from Fifth Ward, but we were right across the freeway. And oh, so, wow.
Okay.
Yes, and so when that time came, I couldn't march because I was like, no, I need my voice to be heard long after the protest is over. And mm-hmm. so talking with God and asking for that discernment, this is what he showed me in bits and pieces. It would come to me in even movies, you know, talking with people. That question, what if this happened to you and your people? And so, you know, it started with that question, what if in 1619, Africans started dealing in illegal slave trading, whereas they kidnapped millions of English men, women, and children and brought them on slave ships to America. And then, you know, I hooked up with a dope art illustrator and she, you know, did the illustrations for me and they are race role reversed. So it just, you know, it shows the other side of it, you know, for those, mm-hmm. I don't want to go too deep into it. I'll just say, go to my website, differenceworld.net and get my book, What If a Controversial Paradigm Shift? And, you know, check it out. It's again, a book that's written to encourage and inform thought-provoking and consistent conversations about injustice and racial, systemic racism in America. And it's done mm-hmm. through graphic and provocative illustrations. So be advised that it's intended for a mature audience. And so it's sensitive content. And if you can't take the heat, just get your fire blanket and still come on to the kitchen because that's the point of the book is to have people coming to the table and talking about these issues that need to be had.
Now, what's that website again?
differenceworld.net. Again, my name is spelled differenceworld.net. So differenceworld.net. You can go to my website and get your copy. It's available now. As well as my YouTube channel, you guys, I post a lot of my motivational blogs as well as with social awareness, you know, my business, Third Eye Entertainment. That's how the business was started. Once I finished with the manuscript, I took it to a lawyer. She read it and asked me the question, what's the name of your business? And I'm like, huh, what? I kept giving her the title of my book. And she's like, well, I don't think you understand. In order to sell a product to the public, you got to have, you know, LLC. And so that's just how life goes. Once you think you know it all, or no mm-hmm. matter how many degrees you got under your belt, there's still room for growth and learning. And so I had to hit the ground running and came up with Third Eye Entertainment LLC. Like I said, being a person that's spiritually in tune with my chakras, Third Eye was, you know, the best name that I could come up with. And this is what we do. We're a business that strives to bring social awareness to society through our products and services in which we educate, inspire, and entertain all at once. And so with my YouTube channel, I do a lot of, you know, social awareness, motivational speaking vlogs. For my entertainment side, I do my travel content. I post my videos of all the places I've been. I just dropped my Aruba. I think I got like 15, 20 videos of the travel content. But mm-hmm. for those out there listening, you should go check it out. Come and learn about your girls. Difference World YT, come and learn. I'll drop all the information. I'll make sure my pastor have it for you guys, but definitely yes. Check it out and subscribe. And my website, differenceworld.net. You guys can check out all my other social media handles on my website, my Twitter, Instagram, as well as I'm trying to learn TikTok so I can get on there, right? Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to do all that TikTok stuff. I know.
I'm old school. I was raised by the old school.
Okay.
The last of the Mohicans. I was in the 90s, baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Early 90s.
Yeah. I'm a little older than that, but I'm still, I don't get some of that stuff either. So I see some people there on TikTok. That's
well,
something
I will
else
say
out there
this.
Now.
I tried, when it first came out with all the little dance moves, what was that? Renegade. I tried it. I was trying to get them dance moves, but by the time I got halfway through it, learning it, they had moved on to the next move. So I was like, you know what? No, this is too much. Every week they got a new dance out and it's like, more intricate with the horn moving. And how do you remember all that stuff? So we leave that to the youngest. Now this day time to shine. I've already had my little, little session. You know, we had good music in my time. What's that? Uh-huh. Lean with it, rock with it, lean with it, rock with it. That was good. So hey, I'm good with that.
She's acting like, hey guys, she's acting like she's 70 years old. Over, she ain't 70 years old.
Nah, but I am old school. Yeah. I understand when it's your time, and when it's gone, it's gone. But I'm still young, of course. But yeah. I just don't do all that. The youngsters.
Yeah. Oh, you're staying in your age bracket.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, look, you're not the, I ain't gonna talk about them, but yeah. Because the grandmamas I had and the grandmama they got now, mm-hmm. I don't want their grandmama. My grandmama mm-hmm. was good. Mm-hmm. Them grandmas they got now, they keep them.
Mm-mm, baby, they dressing better than some of these young gals.
I know.
Who's that? Mama D?
where have I heard that name?
Order. Huh?
Mama D, there's a name. What, is that from a show?
That's Scrappy's mama, little mom. Scrappy's okay. mama.
Yes,
okay. Yeah, love. What's the love in hip hop?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yes. What she's saying? She sang the song In That Order.
I don't know the song, but I remember her.
Yeah, she have a little song, got a little hit song. She got her a little hit, so I can't hate on her. But
now you say you going back to your motivational speaking.
Yes, sir.
Because you do that. How often are you doing that?
Oh, every Monday on my YouTube channel, we're dropping content. Okay. On Sundays, I do spiritual motivation, if you will. I think the one I just dropped was Walk by Faith and Not by Sight, A Reason for Your Season. So just for me, I like to say I'm an eclectic person. I know when people get on YouTube, they usually have, one content that they stick to. But for me, I'm an eclectic woman. I'm more than just one option. And so for Mondays, we do motivation. Tuesday, social awareness. Wednesday, we got our podcast interviews. Thursday, we do our pop culture or our movie reviews. Fridays, we do travel content.
Saturdays, live. How many movies do you go to?
Say it again.
How many movies do you go to?
Oh, I just do like different movie reviews. Like I just recently did because it's Women's History Month. Shout out to all the women out there. Yeah. I just did She Said. What else did I did? Hidden Figures. I'll do another one next week. And so that's why you guys got to hit my subscribe button to my YouTube channel and the notification bell. So when I drop the content, you guys come in different as well when you come and learn. I do a lot. I do it all, man. And so, because it's a lot of time, people, what some person doesn't like, another person will. So, for instance, like racism, a lot of white people don't like talking about racism. It's uncomfortable for them. But when you talk about mental health, they all over it. So, what one topic won't like, another person will. And so, I have something for everybody, if you will.
Well, I have to go along with that. I have he's a white bishop. Mm. From Church of God in Christ. He's gonna be on with me next week. So that's gonna drop Thursday. And he and I talked about, matter of fact, he's supposed to be on a thing I did. I had a panel on racism about a year ago. And he couldn't make it. So we're gonna talk about it. We talked about it. We're gonna sit down and release it this week. He goes into a lot of that, people, because he's free with it too, which I like. So guys, look for that. If you haven't heard, I'll be on the lookout for that.
I'm interested in hearing that part.
Because he, as a matter of fact, I didn't think he'd be as open as he was. Put it that way.
There have been a couple of Caucasian podcasts I've gone on that have been very open and honest about the situation. And that's what I appreciate about it. I love talking with those that are, open and honest and willing to come to the table and have that talk. Even if we have different opinions, that's okay. As long as we're respectful of each other's opinions and, we're not trying to come from a hurtful place of where we are. I believe there's power in healing your past and talking about it. You can heal from your past when you address it and you face it head on and you take back your power from it. And so my theory is when we have these conversations constantly and consistently, then that's when we can see systemic change instead of systemic racism. And so that's the point of the book, is to push for, and the reason why I've written it in a controversial manner is because for some reason it seems to be everybody loves controversy. It gets them their attention. And so that's the attention grabber right there. But once people that are mature enough to see what the four main paradigms I have, historical, political, precedent, and hypothetical, if they're mature enough to make it through the first three paradigms and see within hypothetical, it's more than just, you know, pushing people's buttons or rubbing them the wrong way. I'm talking about unity, coming together as one, taking accountability and acknowledgement, and talking about ways we can create systemic change. I also talk about other races, including, you know, Hispanics, you know, Muslims, you know, Native Americans, even the LGBTQ community is included in my book. And so it's not just about Black and white, it's about everybody, you know. One thing I've learned from number 45 is you go where you celebrate it and not where you tolerate it. And so with this book, I understand, you know, a lot of people are going to be upset about it, but I'm going to go where I'm celebrated and not where I'm tolerated. I know it's going to be people out there that feel where I'm coming from, and I look to them to help me spread the word about it. And so again, when you go to my website and get my book, you know, I hope and pray that you guys share the reviews and talk about it with others. You're allowed to, you know, share the video, the illustrations that, you know, unfortunately, the protests that we might have to go to in the future. That's the point of it, to have these conversations. And if they don't want to, then it'll be on us to push that envelope to have it. And even if it goes nowhere fast, nothing beats a failure but a try. But what if, Pastor, what if this was a generation that plants the seed for the next, you know, or the next generation? So that's why I'm here doing my part.
I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. I think it not just once, repeatedly.
Repeatedly, yes.
Because I think the more we talk, I've done two podcasts on racism, maybe three, on racism, and each time we talk, more and more comes out.
Yep.
And I mix up the groups, so it's not just me and another Black guy, me and another Black lady. It's me, white people, and Black people are talking. We're getting this dialogue going, and we're trying to say things that people don't want to talk about. They talk about behind closed doors, but they talk about it from one angle and one angle only. So we open up some other angles so they'll see it.
And well, so the next time you have that panel, I better be a part of it.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I've reached out to one other person to see if they can be added to the group too. So yeah, I'll keep you in mind.
Because okay, definitely.
I think it's a needed conversation that has to happen. And why not let it begin in the church? Because I've always said, and I say it every time it hits me, the most racist day of the week is Sunday.
You think?
Because we got Black churches, white churches, Japanese churches, Asian churches, Hispanic churches. But
wow, I never thought about that.
That's not what God made for the church. We're supposed to all be one.
Yep.
I shouldn't feel bad for going to a white church, and they shouldn't feel bad for coming to my church. But we're made to make people think you can only hang out with yours. When you only hang out with one group of people, you never get a full picture.
There you go. Also, and with my business, Third Eye Entertainment, we advocate heavily for mental health and wellness. And so I want to take this time and to just reach out to anybody out there that's listening to know and understand that it is okay to not be okay, but do not ever sit there and not be okay. Go get help, whatever the case may be, talking with a therapist, a family member, a friend, mending broken bridges, cutting people off, picking up hobbies, whatever the case may be that you have to do to keep yourself from going off the deep end and possibly taking anybody with you. Do it. If you need, or if you know anybody that may need these mental health resources, please share it with them. The crisis hotline number is 1-800-273-8255, or you can call or text 988, or you can text 741-741. Or for those that would prefer, you can go online to mentalhealthishealth.us, or you can check out 988lifeline.org. And please know again that it's okay to not be okay, but do not sit there and not be okay. Go get help, because you're the captain of your own ship and you decide where to navigate the waters. Lastly, remember, you guys, do your own homework and your own research and find what works best for you guys. Okay?
Do this for me. That information you just gave, can you send that to me either via text or email?
Sure, I'm going
to add that to the description
Definitely, section. Definitely.
So that'll be there and it'll be at your hand. You gotta just click on it, copy and paste, look at it and dial it to, for all my listeners. So you'll have access to it and you know these don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be able to see them. And I want y'all to also know, because this morning this just happened to me. My podcast went from Anchor to now Spotify owns it. So I want y'all to know, I guess I'm listening on the Spotify solely now. I don't know yet. So if you can't find me under what you were finding me under, look on Spotify. I just thought I'd say that because I'm sitting there looking this morning. I'm going on to get a look and see how to record what I wanted to do. And they've changed it. So if you use Anchor, I'll let you know Anchor, I guess, sold out to Spotify or something. So now, your trips. Let's go to your trips because you say you go to all these countries. Do you go over? How many days do you have? What's the longest stay you've ever had in one country?
Oh, I can't do no more than a week and a half.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I'll say one of my favorite trips was to Nairobi, Kenya. I got to see the Maasai Reserve and dance with the Maasai people. I also had experience when I was at the campsite and I woke up one morning and we stayed in an actual tent that had like restrooms, electricity, and there was a mesh window that I was sleeping by. And I woke up one morning to go use the restroom and I came back and I seen a lioness on the campgrounds in the woods, like hunting. That's the funny thing. The women in with the lions, they do the hunting, not the men. It's the women. And okay. So they were standing right outside and I wanted to get my camera, but I was like, man, if I do, I'm gonna miss this moment. So it was just one of those moments where you had to live in it and tell it. And if nobody believes me, oh, well, but this happened. It was very true. We were looking at each other and like for a split second and she nodded to me. She did. And walked off. And
wow.
To me, it was like queens recognize a queen no matter what form we are in. And that nod that she gave me, it was like an affirmation, like, you got this, queen. You know what to do. And so I get chills on my spine talking about it right now.
You're saying, I probably had a different response. Okay, go ahead.
It was real and it happened. And I hold on to it. That was one of the most memorable ones, but I had some other couple ones. I went parasailing in Colombia at 30,000 feet and landed in some cow patties. So that was fun.
Okay.
You know, I ziplined upside down at 40,000 feet in Peru. I'm very adventurous. And so
definitely
that's why you guys out there listening, if you don't believe me, come and learn. Go to my YouTube channel and see. I'm actually dropping my trip to Cairo today. Cairo, Egypt. I've been to like Africa 4 times. And so I visit the pyramids of Giza, the Great Sphinx, the Nile River. I've been blessed, man. I've lived a blessed life. I can't even complain. When I look back on what I've been through and what I've gone, it was all part of God's plan to use me as a vessel and to allow me my life to be seen as an example as to what can happen when you put God first. He will take you from the back to the front. And no, I have not made it to where I want to be just yet, but I know I will get there. Why? Because I am manifesting, planning, and preparing for it. Because I know it will surely come to me. And so that's what I want you guys out there that's going after your dreams and goals. I often tell people, you either on that come up like Cardi B or that come back like Robert D. There is no more in between. And so manifest, plan, and prepare for what it is that you want in life, and it will surely come to you guys. Difference will. Come and learn, everybody.
Hey, guys, we want to end on that note. I thank her for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, King. I do appreciate it. And just remind you, you're a king and you got a crown on your head and you're rocking it very well and you keep doing your thing. God bless you.
I appreciate you. God bless you, ma'am. Hey, guys, I want to thank you again for joining us here. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And also, there's a question that's on there. Make sure you answer the question. I want to hear you.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk, No Chaser.
This is a show where the spirit has control.
Straight Talk, No Chaser.
So listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Straight Talk, No Chaser.
Telling you the truth before we hear the truth.
Straight Talk, No Chaser.
So come get all the blessings God got for you.